Thank you, Garrett and Nancy. We so appreciate your story. Thank you. What an amazing Sunday it is, and it is so good to be together for several reasons. Number one, it's Daylight Saving Sunday. How many of you appreciated that extra hour? That's a gift. That's a gift. Number two, the Dodgers won the World Series. Oh, man. Oh, man. I'm seeing all my friends in blue. I got Drew up here. He's got the hat, the shirt, and the jersey, and the shoes. I mean, everything. But number three, most importantly, the tomb is empty, and Jesus Christ has risen from the dead. That's what it's all about, and we are so excited to worship the Lord and continue. I want to welcome all of you joining us here in person, everyone joining us online on our YouTube channel or Apple or Spotify playlist. We're so glad that all of you are with us today. My name is Eric. I'm one of the pastors here, and I love you all so much. But most importantly, God loves you. So with that in mind, let's open our Bibles together to Luke chapter 8. And while you're opening to Luke chapter 8, I want to ask you this question. In fact, I want you to kind of spend our whole time together in God's Word thinking about this question. When was a time that someone else's generosity impacted you? When I was a sophomore in college, I was a youth and young adult intern at my home church. And one of our leaders in our church came to me and they said, Eric, because of the faithful tithing and generosity of our church family, we want to pay for a group of college students to go to a missions conference called Urbana. And they said, everything about this conference will be paid for because of the tithes and the generosity of this church family. And so they said, Eric, what we want you to do is we want you to start calling the roster of college-age kids that are connected with our church to see how many of them want to go. So this was a really fun assignment. I started to pick up my phone and just started going through the roster, calling people, sharing with our college students about this amazing opportunity because of the generosity of our church. And then all of a sudden, I got to one name that was very important to me. The name was Sarah Campbell. Now, spoiler alert, that's Sarah Holmstrom to you. She changed her name. But at that time, the list just said Sarah Campbell. And so I geared up and got really excited, and I called Sarah Campbell and I said, Sarah, I know you're off at college right now, but because of our home church, because of the generosity of so many people in our church family, we can go to this amazing college briefing event, this college missions conference, and I would love for you to go. And Sarah said, Eric, I would love to go. Is it okay if I bring a friend with me? Now, that was not the answer I was hoping to hear, because at this point, I was head over heels for Sarah. I was crazy about her. She could kind of sense that I would have some certain feelings towards her. I wasn't really excited about her friend coming, but whatever. She decided to bring her friend, and it was amazing. We flew out there, and as we were flying out there, Sarah would tell me later that she was praying and asking God to help her let me down. Okay, because she just didn't have an ounce of romantic feelings for me. In fact, she said, I was so far in the friend zone, I was like the mascot of the friend zone, okay? That's why I believe there's always hope if you're in the friend zone, okay? There's always hope. So I was way in the friend zone. She's praying she can let me down easily. On the last evening of that conference, there was 20,000 people there. Sarah left one of her breakout sessions early. I left the exhibit hall early. And all of a sudden, we were on this, you know, we were in this three-story convention center surrounded by 20,000 people all week. And then at this very special, incredible moment, we just were kind of there together. And it was only the two of us. We couldn't see anyone else around. And I said, hey, do you want to go for a walk? And we started walking around beautiful St. Louis. The Christmas lights are up. It's a little bit snowy and warm. And we're having conversations. And I'm doing all my pastoral stuff. Like, I'm just trying everything I can to show this girl who I am and to, you know, pray, Lord, convince her, change her heart. And we ended up ending the night. The whole conference was you would end the night worshiping the Lord into the new year. It was an amazing experience. And Sarah would tell me later that it was on that flight home that she was again praying to God. But this time she was praying, Lord, would you let me marry him? That's a miracle, y'all. This is crazy. this is crazy. And just I was just literally reflecting on this story, as I often do, that your boy got married because of some generous people in a church. That literally, because of the generosity of the people of our home church at that time, Sarah and I began a relationship. So I want to ask you that question again. When was a time that someone else's generosity impacted you? And in fact, I want you to be thinking about that whole question this morning and really for these next 4 weeks. We're beginning a new series today, one that I'm really excited about. It's called The Rich Life: How to Have a Fun, Free, and Fruitful Relationship with Money. And I imagine there are many of us today who are enslaved to debt or are anxious and worried about money. We wouldn't describe our relationship with money as fun, free, and fruitful. But the truth is, that's actually God's design for you to experience that rich life. And for the next 4 weeks, we're going to be talking about each of those letters, R-I-C-H, to help us remember how we can experience what God desires for us. Today, we'll be talking about radical generosity. The I is for investing wisely. C is for controlled spending. And then H is for addressing and dealing with the hurdles to financial freedom. And I believe over these next 4 weeks, in fact, I want to encourage every single one of you to take a 30-day challenge with us, to be open to thinking about your finances from God's perspective. And I believe that over these next 30 days, over these next 4 Sundays, as we talk about so many different aspects to our financial lives, I think all of us, if we apply what God is teaching us, are gonna not only experience his blessing over our lives, are not only gonna experience him providing for us, but we are gonna find ourselves partnering with him and living with a little bit more fun, a little bit more freedom, and a little bit more fruitfulness, especially in the realm of finances. Now, you sold out, or you bought all the books we had last Sunday, and so we've got so many more for you, and I wanna encourage you at the end of our time together today to pick up this book, The Money Challenge, and to read it, whether you're a college student, whether you're an empty nester, whether you have little ones at home, whether you're living on a fixed income or your career is up and to the right, wherever you're at, I wanna encourage you to pick up this book. I think it's gonna be so helpful for all of us. Now, did you know that it was someone else's generosity that supported Jesus's ministry? We don't talk about this a lot, but there's this beautiful little collection of verses in Luke chapter 8, beginning in verse 1. It says, after this, Jesus traveled about from one town and village to another, proclaiming the good news of the kingdom of God. The 12 were with him, and also some women who had been cured of evil spirits and diseases. Mary called Magdalene, from whom 7 demons had come out, Joanna, the wife of Chuza, the manager of Herod's household, Susanna, and many others. These women were helping to support Jesus and his disciples out of their own means. John Reinhart, the author of the book Gospel Patrons, he puts it this way. Jesus's ministry was funded by 3 women with names. It wasn't manna from heaven, water from the rock, or bread from the temple. God's provision for his son came through real people, 3 hidden heroes of our faith. And I want to let you know, especially if you're new to Purpose Church is full of so many hidden heroes who continue to fund, support, invest, and believe in the ministry of Jesus and what he is doing here at Purpose Church. Now, our relationship with money, it actually says a lot more than we think about our spiritual maturity, our obedience to Christ, and our understanding of God's generous love towards us. Now, there's lots of reasons we should talk about money. Here's just 4 biblical facts about God and money. Did you know that over 2,000 Bible verses address money and possessions? Do you know that a significant portion of your life will revolve around earning, saving, giving, and spending money? So your relationship and my relationship with money isn't something to brush aside as unspiritual or unnecessary. Here's just 4 things that the Bible talks about related to God and money. Number 1, Psalm 50 talks about how God owns everything. In Deuteronomy 8, we see that God gives people all of their abilities. He has given you all of your abilities, including the ability to gain wealth. Number three, 1 Timothy 6, Paul says that God calls his people to be generous. In fact, if you read 1 Timothy 6, it's clear that being wealthy in this present world is defined by how much you hold on to. However, being wealthy in the coming age, in the kingdom of God, is defined by how much you give away. And number four, in Matthew chapter 6, just one example, Jesus talked a lot about money. In fact, 16 of the 38 parables, the stories that Jesus told, deal with money and possessions. Why? Because Satan can use money as a spiritual attack against us. Because money can become something that we are so enslaved to or fearful about, and we will miss out on God's best for us. Now, here's just four reasons I thought of for why we should talk about money in church. Number one, everybody has some money. Every one of us here has some measure of money. And number two, because of that, there's a lot of really bad advice out there. You can watch TikTok reels or Instagram reels. You can follow YouTube influencers. And oftentimes the advice they're giving is so bad. Number three, did you know that money problems are a leading cause of divorce? So if you are married or you hope to be married someday, thinking about God's design for money is significant. And number four, and most importantly, managing money God's way leads to more joy and financial freedom. Now, whenever a pastor, whenever the church starts talking about money, it's easy to conclude, okay, this church just wants my money. And maybe it's why this story is funny. Many, many years ago, we had an executive pastor here at Purpose Church named Dennis Ender. And he has since gone to be with the Lord. But his amazing wife, Marilyn, is still a faithful member of our church family. And recently, she sent me this story. Two men were shipwrecked and managed to paddle themselves to a deserted island in the middle of the ocean. The two men had markedly different reactions to their plight. The first man paced back and forth. His mind raced as he tried to think of some solution to their predicament. The second man took his shirt off and began to sunbathe. He gave no indication of stress. In disbelief, the first man confronted his calm partner. "What are you doing? Aren't you worried about how we're going to get home? We're likely going to end up as food for the vultures." The second man simply responded, I make $100,000 a week." "So what?" the first man replied. "That doesn't count for anything where we are now. Maybe you didn't hear me," the second man said. "I make $100,000 a week." "You are a deluded idiot," the first man shouted. "Do you think you can buy your way off this island? Do you think you can order up a 7-course meal? "I'm also a Christian," the second man offered. "You think because you're rich and you're a Christian that that is going to get us some supernatural help? Are you counting on a miracle?" the first man sputtered. "I guess I didn't make myself clear," the second man answered steadily. "I make $100,000 a week, and I faithfully tithe at my church. I know my pastor is going to find me." That's good. That's good. That's good. Now, it's funny, but it's not true. It's not accurate. And maybe you've seen some people out there and it's like, yeah, that's true. But that's not what today or really this whole series is about. At Purpose Church, when we talk about finances, when we talk about giving, when we talk about stewardship, budgeting, controlled spending, dealing with debt, it is because we want something for you. We want something for all of us. We want to each be completely and totally free. And so in order to talk about how to have a fun, free, and fruitful relationship with money, we've got to recognize that giving is that first step. That first step of trusting God that ultimately produces a fun, free, and fruitful relationship with money. Number one, giving will be fun, free, and fruitful when it's proportional.
1 Corinthians chapter 16, verses 1 and 2, Paul says, "Now about the collection for the Lord's people, do what I told the Galatian churches to do. On the first day of every week, each one of you should set aside a sum of money in keeping with your income, saving it up so that when I come, no collections will have to be made." When Paul says on the first day of the week, this is code for Sunday, or the Lord's Day, as is described in Revelation chapter 1, verse 10. And Paul says, give in keeping with your income. This is code for proportional giving, or it's likely code for tithing. I mean, Paul was writing letters to people who understood the ancient Jewish practice of tithing, which is the Hebrew word tenth, literally giving a 10% of your income back to God because it's holy to the Lord and it belongs to the Lord. Now, God could have told Paul to say, everyone should give $1,000 or everyone should give $10,000, but he didn't. He said, give in keeping with your income. Now, a little known fact is this. Under the Mosaic Law, which is the first five books of the Old Testament, there appears to actually be three tithes for the people of God. Number one, there was a regular tithe or 10% given to support the priests and the work of the temple. Secondly, there was what's called a festival tithe, a 10% for the celebration of the required feasts. And then number three, there was a charity tithe. This was given every third year to the sojourners, to the fatherless, and to the widows. In other words, God expected the Israelites to give 23.3% of their income every year, not 10%. And because at Purpose Church, we value living biblically, we're gonna invite you to start giving 23.3% of your income. Aren't you glad you came to church today? No, that's not what we're talking about. But you see, tithing and generosity was a regular practice for God's people, proportionally. Number two, giving will be fun, free, and fruitful when it's primarily through the local church. In Malachi chapter 3, it says, "I, the Lord, do not change. So you, the descendants of Jacob, are not destroyed. Ever since the time of your ancestors, you have turned away from my decrees and have not kept them. Return to me and I will return to you, says the Lord Almighty. But you ask, how are we to return? Will a mere mortal rob God? Yet you rob me. But you ask, how are we robbing you? In tithes and offerings. You are under a curse, your whole nation, because you are robbing me. Bring the whole tithe into the storehouse, that there may be food in my house. Test me in this, says the Lord Almighty, and see if I will not throw open the floodgates of heaven and pour out so much blessing that there will not be room enough to store it." The Old Testament storehouse was the place where God's people brought their tithes for the ministry and for the care of that storehouse. It was a place where needs were met and resources were distributed. The local church is like that storehouse. The local church is the center of worship and teaching and distribution, which were the functions of the Old Testament storehouse. Now, as Westerners, especially when it comes to giving, we tend to think individually. What is it that I want to give to? But the Bible consistently commands us to think communally. What is it that God has called his people collectively and communally to give to? Now, a great question that oftentimes people ask is, okay, is tithing, this Old Testament principle of giving God 10%, is it in the New Testament? Well, in addition to what it seems like Paul's alluding to in 1 Corinthians 16, there's an even stronger New Testament mention, and it's straight from Jesus' mouth. In Luke chapter 11, verse 42, Jesus said these words, "Woe to you Pharisees, because you give God a tenth, a tithe of your mint, rue, and all other kinds of garden herbs, but you neglect justice and the love of God. You should have practiced the latter without leaving the former undone." This would have been an amazing moment in Jesus' ministry to say, hey, that ancient Old Testament practice of tithing no longer applies to my followers. But he didn't. In fact, he said, you guys are tithing, and that's amazing, but you're not practicing the love of God or justice. And he said, his followers, the followers of Jesus, will not look for an exception to giving. The followers of Jesus will not look for loopholes to giving, but followers of Jesus will set the example by faithfully tithing, giving, trusting God with our resources, and also loving God and practicing justice. Now, this is important for us to talk about here today because Purpose Church is in the disciple-making business. That's what we're about. We're not about entertaining people. We're not just about gathering because we have nothing else to do. We are about disciple-making. It's why our vision as a church is everyone, everywhere, following Jesus. Because it was Jesus' vision for every church and his vision for every single believer that we would all participate in making disciples. Why? Because disciples of Jesus change the world by the power of the Holy Spirit. Because Jesus' vision is a world populated with his disciples who willingly choose to follow him. Now, maybe you're new to church, you're new to Christianity, maybe you just recently gave your life to Christ, or maybe you've been walking with Jesus for a while, and that word disciple is kind of still a tricky one. Maybe even some of you wouldn't even be willing to ask what is a disciple because it seems so basic, but you're honest, you don't know exactly what it is. I've struggled with that as well. And so my oldest son, Charlie, and I have started doing something called Discipleship with Dad, where once a week, we're just reading a chapter of Mark's gospel together, talking about our relationship with Christ. And as we were reading in Mark's gospel, there the word disciple came up. And I asked Charlie, I said, what is a disciple? And he gave me a really good answer. And then he asked me, he said, Dad, what do you think a disciple is? And I just thought about it. I was like, what is a simple way to remember what a disciple is? Here's what it is. I want you to hold up a giant L at me like I'm a loser, okay? Just go ahead and hold up a giant L at me. What does it mean to be a disciple? What is a disciple? Here's what a disciple is. A disciple is somebody who learns from Jesus, and then I want you to do little walking fingers on your hand, is somebody who walks with Jesus, and then I want you to do this, is somebody who does what Jesus did. Okay, this is how few brain cells I have, okay? I gotta remember it this way. A disciple is someone who learns from Jesus, who walks with Jesus, and who does what Jesus did. And so according to Jesus, money is a discipleship issue. And when you and I, when we give to our local church, we are investing in what I like to call a holy mutual fund. And some of you, you're really good with finance. I was just talking to a new guy in our church who is a day trader. And he was just telling me about all these cool things he's doing. And some of you are so smart with money, and it's absolutely amazing. I would hope that this would encourage you that as you give to God through Purpose Church, you are giving to a holy mutual fund that God is using to meet needs locally and around the world. But sometimes I talk with people and they go, okay, but where really is the money going that people give to God through Purpose Church? Where is it going? And again, I wanna make things really honest and really simple for us and memorable. And so for every $100 you give to God through Purpose Church, $35 gets invested in the next generation, $33 gets invested in men, women, seniors, worship, and recovery, and $32 gets invested in local and global missions and church planting. This is where it goes. That as you faithfully trust God and obey him, this is where it goes. And I want you to know, my wife Sarah and I, we are sold out for this. That we have so much confidence in what God is doing in and through every single one of you, multiplying what we give to accomplish more than any of us could on our own. We are all in. In fact, especially if you're new to following Jesus or if you've never practiced tithing or giving before, I'm gonna be honest with you. I have personally experienced how God has used the spiritual discipline of tithing and giving to transform my heart, to increase my faith in him as my provider more than many other spiritual disciplines. So I want to challenge you, if you want your relationship with God to go to the next level, trust him with your finances. Number three, giving will be fun, free, and fruitful when it's sacrificial. In 2 Samuel chapter 24, verse 24, King David replied to Araunah, "Now I insist on paying you for it. I will not sacrifice to the Lord my God burnt offerings that cost me nothing. So David brought the threshing floor, and David bought the threshing floor and the oxen and paid 50 shekels of silver for them. I've told you this before, but my wife Sarah and I, we give every time we get a paycheck. We just immediately give. It's one of the first things that we do. And I wish I could tell you that I was the kind of pastor who, when I gave and I got that email from Purpose Church that says how much I gave and how grateful Purpose Church is, I wish I was the kind of pastor that every time I saw it, I said, oh, that's absolutely amazing. And I didn't feel any measure of anxiety or worry. But I gotta be honest with you. When I see that, I think, man, all four kids need braces according to the dentist. Okay? All of them are gonna eventually need car insurance. Oh, and I immediately start running through the list of anxieties I have. But friends, as we've been practicing tithing our whole marriage, I have seen over and over again, God is faithful. God provides. And I just was thinking about this the other day. I would rather live off of 90%, trusting God with that 10%, and have God's blessing over our lives than living on 100%, but be living in disobedience to God. Art Rayner, who wrote the book that we're reading right now, he says this, when the Bible talks about giving, there is no out. There are no loopholes or exclusion clauses. There are no reasons provided for not giving. We give because he gave so generously to us. And then number four, giving will be fun, free, and fruitful when it's planned. Proverbs chapter 3 says, honor the Lord with your wealth, with the first fruits of all your crops. Then your barns will be filled to overflowing and your vats will brim over with new wine. And then in Proverbs 21, the plans of the diligent lead to profit, as surely as haste leads to poverty. Now, my wife Sarah and I, we love going on dates together. And every once in a while, we'll go on spontaneous dates. Ones that we didn't plan, ones that we didn't think of, it just kind of happened. And we'll go on these spontaneous dates. And spontaneous dates are awesome. But I gotta be honest with you. If our relationship hinged on us only going on spontaneous dates with each other, in a calendar year, we wouldn't go on that many dates together. In fact, we wouldn't go on enough to protect and preserve and build into our relationship. And so one thing Sarah and I do is every Friday morning, we have a carved out time where we go on a date together. We go on a run together, which like she had been praying that I would begin exercising like decades ago. And I finally like the Lord's like, you should do this. And I'm like, okay, I'll do it. And so I start, he doesn't sound like that. I sound like that. I'm sorry. He's like, you should work out. And I was like, I don't want to. But then I finally started. And so we go on this run together and then we usually end up at Starbucks or a breakfast house. And I'm telling you, Friday mornings are one of my favorite days of the week. Just that time that Sarah and I have blocked out, because sometimes we can be like ships passing in the night, but that Friday morning, knowing that Sarah and I are gonna get time to connect, to talk, to share our hearts, we use that time to talk about how well we've loved each other throughout the week. We talk about our budget, we talk about prayers, we just kind of connect with each other. It's an amazing time. And you see, the same is true for our giving. I believe that if you and I only rely on spontaneous giving, compulsive giving, we won't be giving at the level that our heart actually desires to. We won't be giving at the capacity that God has called us to so we could see his faithfulness. And so again, just personally, what Sarah and I do is we have set up reoccurring giving through purposechurch.com/give. Where it just is regularly happening so that it's planned and it's a priority. But there's several different ways to give here at Purpose Church. Some of you give online like my wife Sarah and I do. Some of you give via text. Some of you give in person when the buckets are passed. Some of you mail in or bring in your check to the office, your offering, your tithe. And I just want you to know, I am so incredibly grateful. I'm so grateful that you are faithfully following Jesus and partnering with what God is doing here. Randy Alcorn says it this way in the book, The Treasure Principle. Do you wish you cared more about eternal things? Then reallocate some of your money, maybe most of it, from temporal to eternal things. Watch what happens. You'll be amazed and happy. God wants your heart. He isn't looking for dispassionate philanthropists for his kingdom. He's looking for disciples so filled with a vision for eternity that they wouldn't dream of not investing their money, time, and prayers where they will matter most. So I want to ask you that question again. When was a time someone else's generosity impacted you? Because in part, you're here experiencing what you're experiencing, the life transformation that God is doing in each one of our lives because of others' generosity. And I want to ask you this next question. And I don't mean it. In fact, I don't want it to produce any guilt or shame. I want it to be a reflection question for each one of us. And the question is this. If everyone in our church gave the same percentage I give, how healthy would our church be? And that's just between you and the Lord. If everyone gave the percentage you and I give, how healthy would our church be? Would we be partnering in the advancement of the kingdom of God at the level that we want to? See, so far this year, we have seen through the faithful giving and ministries of Purpose Church, we have seen so much. Do you know that just in this last year, 380 people have made a first-time decision to follow Jesus Christ? Through your giving and through the ministries of Purpose Church, one of those is a junior high girl. She's connected with Purpose Church through one of our microsite campuses here in the city of Pomona. She used to have no relationship with Jesus, a tough home life, and then she gets the opportunity to go to summer camp. Well, she can't afford it, and she needs a scholarship, and because of your faithful giving and generosity, she goes to summer camp on a scholarship, decides to follow Jesus, now reads her Bible daily, and is actively bringing her entire family to church to experience the love of God. Did you know that through your faithful giving in the ministries of Purpose Church, 185 people have chosen to be baptized just this year? Well, there's one woman who, she turned away from God to substances to cope when she lost her brother. When she and her two children attended Purpose, she was reminded again that God loves her deeply. And a couple of Sundays ago, all three of them were baptized. Now they're active in kids' ministries, in student ministries, in adult life groups, and they are regularly inviting their unbelieving family members to experience Jesus at Purpose Church. And through the faithful giving and ministries of Purpose Church, we saw 31% more people attend Easter and Sunday Funday than last year. One example of that. There was a man who gave his life to Jesus while in prison. This year, he and his wife were searching for a church home, and they were invited to and they visited Purpose on Sunday Funday. And from the very first moment they came here, they told us they felt welcomed and like this was family. After a month, they felt so connected in their rooted group, and they told us they have found their church home. Praise God. Purpose Church family, today we are beginning one of our favorite seasons at Purpose Church. We did this last year. We're going to do it this year. We're going to continue to do this. And the season is called Radical Generosity. We believe that God has called us and invited us as a church family to express through generosity the amazing generosity that God has shown us. And so from this moment forward through November and December, I want to invite you to begin praying about how God is calling you to be radically generous, how we can do that together as a church family. And here are the three opportunities for that. Number one, through global missions, Operation Christmas Child. We invite you to be radically generous by filling 750 boxes online or in person that will bless kids in Latin America, in Asia, and around the world with gifts, school supplies, and the greatest gift of all, an opportunity to hear the truth that Jesus Christ loves them and wants a relationship with them. And we believe God is calling each one of us to participate in that. Number two, we want to be radically generous through local missions. We're going to do a gift card drive here at Purpose Church through our growing partnership with the Department of Child and Family Services and the children in our Purpose microsites here in Pomona. We invite you to be radically generous by providing $25 gift cards from Amazon, Walmart, or Target for 250 vulnerable children and youth in our community. 100 of those gift cards will go towards foster youth in Pomona, and 150 gift cards will go towards the Pomona youth in our microsites and around the city. And then number three, I want to invite you to join us in being radically generous towards the good work that God is doing through the Purpose Ministry, towards a year-end giving. The ministries of Purpose Church reach people with the gospel and meet their needs here in our community and around the world. Our ministries strategically reach and disciple every age and stage. And doing so takes big faith and God's resources through God's people. We are inviting everyone who calls Purpose Church home to be radically generous to God through Purpose Church by together giving $1.4 million so that we can fully fund our purpose ministry goal for the year and start 2026 financially strong and spiritually unified. Now, for all of us who consider Purpose Church our home, this is for us. I'm asking you to join in the great work that God is doing at Purpose Church and to help us finish 2025 financially strong so we can move into 2026 with momentum to continue reaching and discipling everyone everywhere. Now, our word for this year as a church has been engage. And we have seen more people engage than ever before. More have decided to follow Jesus. More have gotten baptized. And more have joined discipleship groups and started serving than ever before. It was just over a year ago that Pastor Glenn passed the baton to me. And I am completely humbled and blown away at the ways you all have engaged during my first year as your lead pastor. Did you know that just over the last year, we have seen a 10% increase in the amount of people engaging in worship here at Purpose Church? We have grown as a church family by 10%. That's amazing. And here's where I want to have a Purpose family chat. Last year, I heard from so many of you who expressed appreciation for our transparency and honesty about our financial state as a church. And because we value transparency and honesty, I want to be honest with you and let you know that while we have seen a 10% growth in attendance, 380 people decide to follow Jesus, 185 baptisms, and so many more in discipleship groups and serving, our giving has not caught up with our growth. In fact, during the first 4 months of our fiscal year, our giving is 10% behind our budgeted income that is needed to support all of our ministries locally and globally. Now, it is completely normal in a rapidly growing church like ours to have the growth in attendance outpace the growth in giving. But that is why I want to be honest with you about where we are at, so that we can all engage financially because we love Jesus and we want to invest in what he's doing here. So let me be really, really clear. If you aren't currently tithing, I'm asking you to start tithing to God through Purpose Church. If you are already giving, I want to thank you and appreciate you for your faithfulness and for your partnership in ministry. I'm also asking you to pray about how God might be calling you to increase your giving or give a larger year-end gift. Our prayer, as I said before, and our goal for November and December is to see God provide $1.4 million through our entire church family, through our entire church family that worships in person and everyone joining us online. And that would be an 11% increase over last year. Now, speaking of last year, I asked you all to pray and to join with your church family to collectively give $1 million, which would have been a 12% increase. But you failed to give 12% because instead you gave 41%. You are a generous church, which means you didn't give $1 million like we prayed for. You gave $1.26 million. Now, $1.4 million sounds like a lot of money. And it can be easy for any of us to think, how could I individually help reach that large of a goal? But I want us all to think about it this way. There are over 2,000 people that attend Purpose every Sunday. And if each of us gave $700 over these next 2 months, we would hit our goal of $1.4 million. But let me break it down even more. $700 is $77.77 a week until the end of the year. Now, I don't know about any other holy number than 7777. But please hear me say this. For some of you, $700 is too much. And as your pastor, I'm telling you, we don't want you to feel pressured to give beyond your means. But I also know that God is leading many of you to give much, much, much more through your regular gifts or through a large year-end giving. In fact, some of you, God is calling you to give a larger financial gift than you've ever given before. An incredible act of faith and trust in Him. And wherever you're at, I want to encourage all of us to pray and let God lead us to discover what radically generous amount He wants us to give. And I want you to know, my wife Sarah and I, we are praying that prayer as well. And we are asking God what amount He is calling us to give above our tithe. We're also asking Him how many boxes He wants us to fill for Operation Christmas Child. And we're asking Him how many gift cards He wants us to provide for vulnerable children in Pomona. Now, as you regularly give and as you give towards reaching the $1.4 million goal, I want to remind you again that every $100 you give to God through Purpose Church, $35 gets invested in the next generation, $33 gets invested in men, women, seniors, worship, and recovery, and $32 gets invested in local and global missions and church planning locally and around the world. But what will your generosity specifically accomplish in the future? Your radical generosity will help our senior adults ministry and young adults ministry build a mentoring program that will connect the generations in a life-transforming way. Your radical generosity will help our Celebrate Recovery train, equip leaders to be sponsors, teachers, and confident in sharing their testimonies so those beginning their recovery journey will find the freedom God wants for them. Your radical generosity will help our global missions ministry provide 750 women and men in South Asia with a 10-month Bible-based literacy course where they will have the opportunity to surrender to Christ and start businesses to help lift their families out of poverty. Your radical generosity will help our high school ministry and local missions ministry build bridges with schools in Pomona so we can reach and share Christ with students before they ever step foot on our campus. And your radical generosity will help our kids ministry reach twice as many unchurched children with the hope of Jesus through our dynamic, fun, and life-changing week of Kids Camp. Giving to your local church is first and foremost about giving to God. And in so doing, you are partnering with God to carry out the vision He has given every local church, including ours, to see everyone, everywhere following Jesus. God is doing a great work in and through Purpose Church, and I am absolutely confident that our best days are ahead of us. Sarah and I love you all so much, and we are all in. Your staff is all in. Your trustees are all in. And I want to invite you to be all in. And let's be radically generous together and watch God bless and reach the world through this church. Would you stand with me? Heavenly Father, I thank You so much that You are the generous God. that you are the one who speaks, who moves, who has provided for us. And may we now be challenged and encouraged to be generous in response to you. And may we see you as our provider, as the king of our lives and the king of our finances. And would you be with us over these next 4 weeks as we talk about budgeting and saving, as we talk about tackling debt, so that we could have a fun, free, and fruitful relationship with money to the glory of God. In Jesus' name we pray, amen.